Blog Talk Radio.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight, with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is John Carpenter, an expert on a number of apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Tonight, John will lead us in an in-depth examination of one of these apparitions. Here now is John Carpenter. who will tell us which of Our Lady's apparitions we will examine tonight.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Journey with Mary. Every week we do take a close look at one of the appearances of the Blessed Virgin Mary somewhere in the world where she has appeared. And she's been doing this for a long time. We've tracked it from, it's been documented as far back as 40 AD and as recent as this year. So that's a lot of time. And that's roughly 2,000 years, and yet they've tracked almost 2,700 cases. And I know of a few that aren't even listed. So quite a few appearances, probably a lot more than we even can imagine. But to be officially documented, it takes a while to have credible ground and investigation. And some of them are, actually many of the more recent ones are still in the approval process because it takes an average of 53 years for approval. You might think that's a little bizarre, but one took 348 years to be approved, another one just a month. So it's quite a variety, quite a difference. And you have to remember that these aren't all in America and they're not all in one country. They're in so many different countries around the world, and so investigations are going to be vastly different. Sometimes it's a whole team of experts, you know, interviewing and processing and examining. And other places, it's just the local bishop deciding what he thinks. So it's quite different, and sometimes they don't want to rule on it. They just want to, quote, wait and see. And I'm not sure whatever that means. I think they just want to make sure that it stays credible and stays valid and the visionaries don't turn out to be shysters or something, which I've yet to see that really. So there might be some people who think they were having experiences, but it just doesn't pan out. But in the cases we present, they're better investigated, documented, and believable, and they fit a pattern. Pattern which you, if you've been listening, see every week how it fits the same kind of pattern of how things happen, how they appear, what is said, even what the point of it all might be for that region or that country. So that's what we do. We like to take a close look and present the best information to you. You don't have to believe anything, but you might find it interesting enough that you keep wanting to learn more. And only by learning and listening do we ever get anywhere. Some people out there would tell you, oh, absolutely, this is an absolute must. But the church is careful because they want to make sure that the supernatural things happening are not coming from Satan. The church isn't saying that there aren't supernatural things going on, but they want to make sure where it's coming from. That's why they're very opposed to Ouija boards or many so-called psychics. You know, there are some good people out there, but there's also a lot of careless, I'll put it that way, careless people who open the door to the spirit world and invite anything through, and that's when the evil spirits love to come through, when that door opens for anybody to come through. So the church is very careful, and they examine it, you know, with great conservative and cautious, you know, investigation. But they can't help it. When it's really good, they usually are really excited about it and eager for the world to know about it when it's an awesome, you know, appearance. I've often laughed about the fact, how many times does she have to appear to be real? If the Vatican has approved, like, say, officially 18 apparitions, that's like saying, Mary's real, Mary's real, Mary's real, 18 times. And then you would doubt that she might show up somewhere else? So, anyway, I think that it's one of those things that we have to take case by case and look at it carefully and let you all decide what you think. Joining me tonight is one of our most loyal participants, Mike in New Jersey. How are you doing?
Oh, doing fantastic. Looking to see what Mary has to say to us tonight.
Yeah, I think we'll get into a whole bunch of stuff. We're going back to Venezuela, South America, to a place called Betania, which translates into Bethany. And so it's a real interesting one. I know last week we started, and it started a church picnic. Well, the first big showing of Mary was at a church picnic with over 100 people of all kinds, even three atheists that saw her. And that's it's always something when you see something you don't believe in, and then you actually see it. That kind of changes your mind and your beliefs. When you actually see something you didn't think existed, that'd be tough, wouldn't it, Mike?
That would be. Hey, explain that. I could hear him now.
Yeah, it's like if Bigfoot showed up at your front door, you'd go, okay, I guess that one's real. So, oh, dear. But anyway. We're glad that she's visiting us, and we're glad that she comes to be our mother and help us and guide us and warn us and predict things and try to guide us to stay on the path and bring us all closer to her son. Great mother and great partner in helping convert people to Catholic faith. All right, so are you ready to travel? All right, we're going.
I'm already at the airport. I'm already at the airport. Where are you?
I'm already in Venezuela, so you better catch
up. You took the other flight.
I just beamed me up, you know. I get there quick.
Oh, you got a hold of Scotty.
You bet. Although I think his name is Jose in Venezuela.
Okay.
Anyway, our visionary in Betania, Venezuela, and by the way, this all started in 1984, not that long ago, 1984, and Maria Esperanza was the visionary, a very famous visionary, actually, pretty well known to a lot of people. Some have even heard her speak. I don't believe she's with us anymore. I believe she did die a couple of years ago. If not, I'm sorry if I got that wrong, but I'm pretty sure she did. Anyway, each year, Maria would receive the stigmata of Jesus, starting on Good Friday and going through Easter Sunday and suffering the pains of his passion. Others have witnessed a gold glitter fall on them from the sky. Perhaps the greatest miracle occurred on December 8th, 1992, during a midnight mass on the vigil of the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. Several thousand people saw a bright light over the host. Okay, that would get my attention. Several thousand people saw a bright light over the host. Father Adi Arestizabal, the chaplain of Betania, broke the host in half, placing a small piece in the chalice. But the remaining piece of the host began to bleed. Miraculously, the blood on this wafer-thin host did not seep through to the other side. Examination revealed it to be human blood of AB type, which is the same as the strata turin and all the other hosts that have been examined by scientists. Every single one has been type AB positive. This miracle.
There's also no marking, markings for a human father.
Say that again.
DNA markings for a human father.
Well, they didn't go that far in saying, but
okay.
The other scientific examinations, that is true that they found often human DNA, but no genetic code, which is like having a finger without a fingerprint. They didn't go that far in saying so on this particular one, but I wouldn't be surprised that that would be true. Anyway, this miracle has been preserved in the convent of Las Ticas Recueues by the Recollect Augustinian Sisters. And on another occasion, Father Rodriguez was holding this miraculous host in its protective sealed container for pilgrims to kiss and adore when a young and most beautiful child mysteriously appeared out of thin air at his side. The child was reported by those present as having a most holy demeanor and loving appearance. When a visiting priest from Trinidad, Father Cuthbert Alexander, was presented this host to kiss, the child placed her hand on the priest's shoulder and then disappeared from view in front of everyone. Now, I will add, I have seen a photo that someone took of her when she appeared next to the priest. I've seen a picture like before and after where the priest is there and then a picture with the child doing this right next to him. So they didn't imagine it. They all saw her and even someone took a picture. So that's pretty interesting what that was about. And by the way, I actually talked to a young man over the phone who had filmed this preserved miraculous host. And when he filmed it with his video camera, it appeared to have flames coming around it, like the Holy Spirit, flames all around the host. And you could see the flickering lights. And there was nothing in the room that could have caused that, because they checked all that to make sure there was no reflection or anything. And you could actually see, and he actually then sent a copy of that to me. And it's just like he described. You can see like flames flickering around the host that's inside of a sealed glass exhibit thing. So pretty interesting stuff going on there indeed. On March 25th, 1993, author, scientific researcher, and physician Professor Courtney Bartholomew heard 30 pilgrims shouting with joy near the grotto where she first appeared, and he turned in time to catch a glimpse of Mary, quote, wearing a beautiful chiffon-like long veil of light blue, which floated majestically in the gentle breeze. Of course, he was excited. I mean, here he is investigating things, and he gets a glimpse of Mary. Immediately afterwards, the sun appeared to shed smaller golden suns, which moved swiftly across the sky in various directions, and then suddenly disappeared. He was impressed that, quote, all known laws of science had just been altered by the Creator, unquote. So somewhat of a science person, he was pretty impressed by the things he saw in his short visit there. What do you think of that, Mike?
That's kind of interesting. you have all known laws of science had just been altered by the Creator. You know, you start asking yourself when you want to look at the authenticity of these apparitions, is how do you fake that? Now, if you know, Hollywood has all kinds of tricks. You know, in order to take somebody out of a picture, you pose them in there, then you stop the camera, remove him, and splice the two ends together.
Yep.
Well, that obviously wasn't done here. The problem we have in this is that years ago when Hollywood and everybody else was working on film, you had to physically cut the film so you could tell where the edit was made. But with digital editing, you can edit down to a micro mini second and you'd never know it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, big difference. And this being around 1984, nope. Didn't have anything like that going
1984. Wasn't there a book put out by that name?
George Orwell. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. Well, and we're long past that. So Bishop Pio Bello Ricardo published his letter of approval for these apparitions in 1987. He declared after great study and examination that they are authentic and of supernatural character. The site was declared sacred and approved for pilgrimages and worship. So there you have the local bishop doing his official approval, and that's what the Vatican recognizes, is the local bishop's word. And I do know that the Vatican did go ahead and put their stamp of approval on it as well. Not sure how much longer after that, but usually pretty soon after that, they, if they like what they see, they often speak out. They don't have to, because they don't really do the investigating, not typically, that is. So they rely on the local bishop and whatever resources he has to make that final decision. But if they really like to comment, then sometimes they will. So now we're going to get into a lot of the messages that Mary delivered to Maria Esperanza, and they're pretty interesting. The first one occurred in 1976 with the very first apparition on March 25th in 1976 at 8:30 a.m. That's how well documented these things are, 8:30 a.m. on that date. Mary said to Maria, "Daughter, here you have me with my hands enriched with graces and covered with splendors of light to call all my children to conversion. This is the seed of glory I offer as, quote, Mary reconciler of people and nations, unquote. For I come to reconcile all of you. Conciliation is the inheritance of divine brotherhood of my divine son. Daughter, hand on my message to all. I will keep you here in my heart from today on and forever." Unquote. So there she started. It's interesting, she says, her hands enriched with graces and covered with splendors of light. It reminds me of the miraculous medal when she had rays of light coming from her fingers and said she is dispersing graces with those rays of light. So that all fits in with Paris, France, 1830. So again, a nice little correlation there. The second apparition was on August 22nd, 1976, at 1:30 p.m. At that time, Maria was told, quote, "Daughter, when all men on earth come to carry their cross with love, there will be no more pain nor weeping, for they will live rising each day, my beloved son. My daughter, I wish for you to make them feel the worth of prayer and the importance of my new apparition as reconciler of people and nations. For under this title, they will find essential and determinant conditions to prepare their souls to receive the grace of the Holy Spirit. Through the communication and the visits of our Lord, through faith, for faith is the basis of Christianity, and increasing that same faith will make them seek with sincere love our Father and my heart and the heart of my divine Son," unquote. Wow, that's pretty beautiful. Beautiful how that was said. Any comment at this point, Michael?
I'm just looking at a phrase that Mary used. She said, let's see if I can find it. She talked about I can't even find it now. Oh, here it is. She says, there will be no more pain nor weeping, for they will live rising each day with my beloved son. Well, that title was used once before. At the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan, the voice from heaven, which was God the Father, said, "This is my beloved son."
Yeah.
Is there any significance to that?
Well, I think you're right. It's said again, and that doesn't surprise me. Now Mary is saying, "My beloved son." So I'm not surprised that she would say that, but it does match up with what God said too. So,
well, the other,
cool.
Mary in the scriptures does not draw attention to herself.
Right.
When she and Jesus were at the marriage feast at Cana, and they ran out of wine, she told the servants, "Do exactly what he tells you." She didn't say, "Do what my beloved son says," or something along those lines. Mary never drew attention to herself.
Right.
And I'm wondering if there is a significance to that, because, she's in several apparitions, she's asked that a church be built in her honor. She was never honoring herself in the scripture. It seems like we have two different Marys sometimes.
Well, but in every one of those churches is her son. You know, she may want them to honor her presence, her visit, by maybe naming the church after her or building it in recognition of her visit. But always what's important is that her son will reside in that church in the tabernacle, and it's a new home for him, a new place for them to worship and get closer to Jesus. So even though it might
be true, but when she makes the initial request to have a church built, that part's left out. That's not mentioned. And I wonder if there's any significance to that.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I've heard her also go on to say, you know, that there in that church, you will be able to be closer to my son. And, you know, it always comes back to Jesus. And, you know, whether she says it in every sentence or it's implied or whatever, but it's pretty consistent, in whether she says the whole paragraph or whether she just implies that. But, you're right. She never does draw attention to herself. But I think she wants, I mean, when you think about Guadalupe and how just her appearance led to 9,000, or was it million? Yeah, it was million. 9 million conversions of Indians just because of her appearances. So I think that a lot of times she knows if you erect a statue or a shrine or build a church in honoring her appearances, that will help maybe a lot of people come to the church or get closer to Jesus or convert to Catholicism. But 9 million Indians right after her Guadalupe appearance shows you that whether she wanted the attention or not, which she is most humble and will say it's never about her, obviously she has an impact, and obviously it makes a difference. And so I think that even if she's very humble about it, it still just rocks your boat if she showed up. So anyway. So, all right, so moving on here. On the sixth apparition, on November 27th, 1978, at 9 a.m. in the morning, Mary says to her, quote, "My daughter, in 1983, you will be able to carry out the land movement in a clear way. And then in 1984, the great event of my presence at that place. And therefore, the great triumph of a march which unites, reestablishes, appraises multitudes that will start coming to my chosen place for these times. And on the 13th of May, which, of course, is the Fatima, anniversary. I will lull you in my arms. All will turn into healthy, good, and honest children. Among those present there, some will feel me, others will see me, their hearts will be touched. Daughter, that great day is coming. Now, this is 1978 when she gets this message predicting her great appearance at that church picnic in 1984 where over 100 people of all types saw her, felt her, experienced her. So she's actually, Mike, at this moment predicting her own big appearance at that church picnic in 1984. Here she is 6 years earlier in 1978 saying to Maria what she's going to do and when it's going to happen. And it did, which is no surprise. Anytime I've known Mary to say it's going to happen, it's happened. So that's a pretty cool prediction right here, that she's telling her that this is going to happen. And then, of course, it did come to pass just as she said. That's pretty cool, isn't it?
That is pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, going ahead on her eighth apparition on March 27th, 1984, at 11:30 a.m.
Let me ask you one question, John. When she predicted her own appearance, she hadn't already talked to her travel agent, had she?
Well, God's her travel agent. He tells her when and where to go, and she knew full well she was assigned for that date.
he can get her there so fast, Scotty'd still be looking for the switch.
That's right. In fact, you know, when I say that, it's because she has said that in some apparitions. She said that I go where God tells me, and I pass on the messages he wants me to tell you. So she makes it clear that it's not her doing. She goes where she's told to go, and she says what she is told to say. So it's very clear it comes from God. And so obviously if God predicts something through her, it's going to happen. I mean, God's not going to get it wrong.
You think?
Now, I'm sure of that. So, but we should all be sure of that if we're not. So, all right. So on this March 27th, 1984, the eighth apparition, she says to Maria, children, and I believe this is the picnic. She says, children, today I make myself present once more because the great announced time has come. A church for all, a universal church, which establishes the rules and points out, according to the law, a moral guide of how children should behave themselves, respecting the commandments and doctrine of my divine Son, and devoting themselves to everyone's well-being, especially to the most needy's well-being, starting by improving their inner life, renewing their spirit with particular attention to meet with the Lord, thus enter fully into the defense of human rights, unquote. Now, what I love about that is that she says the time has come for a church for all, the universal church. The word Catholic means universal. So if you interchange that.
John. Those people who aren't looking at your website won't notice this, but we just finished the sixth apparition. Now we're on the eighth. What happened to the seventh?
There wasn't a message. She appeared, but apparently there was no message. And that's happened. That's happened a lot of times. For example, and this might have been right after the church picnic, because at the church picnic, she gave no message, if I remember right. She just appeared.
Maybe she did, maybe she did. Maybe she said, hey, save me a chicken leg.
You're awful. But I do like the fact that she mentions a church for all, the universal church, and the word Catholic means universal. So That is awesome. That's awesome. Now, her ninth apparition, January 25th, 1985, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Mary says, quote, children, from this, my holy mountain of this blessed place, among these trees, I gaze at you from my grotto of prayer, and in silence and seclusion, I let you feel me, so the grace of the Holy Spirit may enter fully in each one of you, and all may receive the divine vocation of service here in my promised land, and may be able to sweetly work for the love of my beloved Son. Blessed are those who offer their lives to the service of the Lord. And when she refers to my promised land, she's referring to Bethany or Betania in this case in Venezuela. All right. On the 11th apparition, December 8th, 1986. Let me check real quick something. All right. Hold on. Okay.
Did we miss the 10th somehow? There's no 10th apparition either.
Let me check on here just a second.
Or is that a typo?
Nope. There was nothing on the 10th apparition. So I did also, there's a lot more messages than what I'm presenting here. So I might have skipped over some because sometimes on those apparitions, there might have been just a simple something that's maybe been said before. Mm-hmm. And
but you're just hitting the highlights.
Yeah, that's right. There's a lot of highlights. It's just I probably skipped over those. In fact, I'm sure I did because there were a lot of them. Okay, so here on the 11th apparition, December 8th, 1986, at 11 a.m., she says, quote, daughter, children, here I am, as I announced before. Some will feel me, others will see me between the shrubs. Others will perceive the perfumed roses of my garden from heaven. And even more, some who are sick, drinking from the water of my grotto of prayer, will be relieved. Others will be healed, attaining health and peace. Daughter, wherever I place my feet, it is as sowing the seed. And behold, the doctrine and the gospel are enacted through the faith. It comes forth from the heart of those who seek me. And I tell you, all of you will be saved. For the church renews and calls to a burning faith when her children draw close to the flock of my divine Son to nourish themselves with his mystical body. And, daughter, today many will be nourished. Today there is a feast of angels in the whole world. And here in my promised land of Betania, I come to call mankind to reconcile with our brothers. I come to bestow peace upon the world and calmness to the people and nations. I come to reign in the heart of the most humble, and I come to soften the proudest and the most arrogant, so they may mend their actions, all accompanying me, unquote. You know, a couple things after reading that. I think about what's happening in the Ukraine and, the calmness that she wants to bestow the peace and calmness to the people and nations. You know, she appeared in the Ukraine a number of times. I have at least three or four in my 100 that I've researched that were in the Ukraine. So I know the Ukraine is a very devout, Mary-oriented country, as is Poland, right next door. So, I have a feeling that Mary and Heaven will be very closely watching over the Ukraine because they always have. In fact, Mary predicted about almost 80 years before it happened when they would become an independent nation. She missed it by only like 2 years from her prediction almost 80 years before. But she told him that was one of her predictions, that you will suffer a lot, but you will gain your independence in, you know, that year. I think it was maybe 91, 87, I forget, but it was somewhere around there. And she then told another visionary later on that Ukraine was going to have trouble with Russia, that Russia was going to be a problem for the Ukraine in the future until Russia became a converted country, which, of course, is one of the things that Fatima tried to promote. So see how all this ties together. It really does. All ties together. All right. Moving on to the 13th apparition, July 6, 1987, at 11:30 a.m., quote, "My children, reaffirm your trust in the adorable heart of my Jesus, who is in love with his Father's delights. Rest on the promises of the Lord, who hears the prayers of his children, and whose mercy reaffirms all forever. Do not worry, for religious vocations will multiply apostles of my heart. Fill yourselves with gratitude, for all will taste love and wisdom, since the Holy Spirit will enlighten each one of you in these apocalyptic times with his divine grace, sustaining all with bountiful fruits and divine rain. Sons and daughters, do not stop wearing my miraculous medal to cover yourselves in order to be protected, and also distribute it generously so sinners may be converted, the sick may be healed, and the moral values of today's world may be reestablished," unquote. Well, there again, she refers to the miraculous medal. So right there in that message, she refers to Paris, France, 1830, the miraculous medal again. So any comments, Michael?
Do you ever run into the situation where people read these messages and they misplace something, and then what they misplace is that the power of healing, the miraculous power, is not in the metal itself, but it's in God Himself.
Faith wearing it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you wore it, but wore it as jewelry and didn't really have faith, it probably wouldn't have the same effect. But when you wear it with great faith and all that, things could happen for you. It's no promise, mm-hmm. no guarantee. And that's true for anyone, no matter what. If you're wearing a blessed object, any blessed object, and you have a strong faith, any number of things might happen for you. So, and it was not supposed to be called Miraculous Medal in the beginning. It was supposed to be called, I believe, Immaculate Conception Medal. And, well, so many miracles happened in people wearing it that they started nicknaming it the Miraculous Medal, and that stuck. So now we just call it that. So. All right. And let's see our time. We still got about 15 minutes. On the 15th apparition, February 16th, 1989, the year the Berlin Wall came down, at 4 o'clock p.m., she says, "Daughter, children, here I am, living among you. Children, my heart beats with heavenly delight as I gaze at each one of your faces, which come to find the hope of better days, to solidify your steps on the road that leads to Mount Zion. For my fountain of the waters of Bethania shall restore your souls to a new life that will bring you to lead an apostle's life, that is to say, of service devoted to a mission of love, which will reaffirm your trust in the light of the new dawn of my divine Jesus. He, my beloved son, wishes for all of you to live cradled in this motherly heart with the charismata and graces of the Holy Spirit. In this way, my children may hold hands based on the commandment, love one another. It is the only truth that can save mankind from a war among brothers. That is to say, in these times, all should have recourse to the charitable harvest of good deeds, which is the identification of love and of truth of God's people who are longing for social justice. Because as long as unity does not come forth, you will lead a life of anguish, grief, shadows, and sorrow. Behold, children, the love of a mother who cherishes you and comes as a starting point to lead you toward a law of justice, love, peace, and reconciliation. Prayer, meditation, penance, Eucharist, unquote. Well, she's driving home her points. All right. 16th apparition, February 22nd, 1989, at noon. Quote, children, you saw me just some minutes ago in the arbors of this, my grotto of prayer, as Mary of the solitude, with the weeping and suffering of a mother. Oh, my little ones, there is so much grief in my heart. I do not want you to suffer. I do not want to worry you, let alone for you to go through days of tribulation. But there are things that are so hard for men to understand. The only truth which remains is faith, which will build in your families the firmness and the certainty that the Lord and this mother live among all our children, showing you the way that only through deeds of faith the shadows that surround your daily living can be lessened. Children, that is why your prayer must be constant, morning, afternoon, and night, for only prayer can save you. Never forget, the more you suffer, closer to you we will be, soothing, healing the wounds of your hearts, to continue to live with the responsibility of being redeemers of this time and saviors in hope for the great eternity. Observe to understand my message today. Children, be courageous and be willing to give your harvest of peace and love. I keep you. Unquote. Wow, that was a mouthful. That was a lot of stuff. Any reactions? Okay, moving right on. 19th apparition, April 1st, 1989, 4:30 p.m. Quote, daughter, children, I'm trying to talk to all of you to tell you I lead you by the hand, covering your shoulders with my motherly mantle. Sons and daughters, I call you to the sight of my new apparition as Mary, reconciler of people and nations, so you may begin to work on the harvest that you will sow in the hearts of the innocent children and others who are young and long for truth, love, and justice. I call you, for the great moment of reconciliation has arrived, and you need to prepare yourselves as soon as possible. For example, in the sowing of doctrine, catechism, spiritual exercises, the gospel, and mainly the Eucharist, daily communion, the soul's nourishment accompanied with work in a task in which you can be productive, sowing the furrows with the holy seed of nourishment, unquote. 22nd apparition was on May 13th, 1989, at 7 o'clock at night. Quote, my daughter, your own experience has taught you many things. So evangelization takes root in your soul with vigor and infinite love. Think of your personal experience as a language of love to execute in a particular way your task for the sake of human solidarity, growing, taking clear positions in the media of social communications. Your position must be freed from human conditioning, your basic judgment of life, Your personal activity is a testimony of faith, of hope, and of charity. The blind love, kindness, fidelity to your duties. For the patience and that innate happiness which you offer to all in a community-like way. Thus, with courage, strive to perform your deeds with skill, reforming as you progress with each day's experience. The truth of love that conveys respect toward life and toward family dignity. Behold, my daughter, work and struggle, serving everyone. Daughter, you have seen me covered with my white robes, with my rosary in hand. Children, you also were able to see me and see the little shepherds who accompanied me. Oh, sons and daughters, how great is my Lord's kindness to give you this grace of infinite tenderness, unquote. All right. Well,
kind of interesting. She refers to taking clear positions in the media of social communication. We have social media these days.
Yeah.
Wonder if she saw that coming.
Oh, of course. Of course. All right. Well,
why do I ask you obvious questions?
Yeah, right. We have quite a few more messages yet, and they all the way go up to 31 more. But since we're running close on time, I actually want to bring on somebody who's listening, a special guest. And, sir, you are on the air. Identify yourself.
Hey, this is Don Hartley. How you all doing?
I knew it was you.
Oh, what a grand entrance.
Yeah.
Hey, while I got a shot here, while I got a chance here, as head of Deeper Truth, I want to declare John Carpenter the absolute winner against all comers, Patrick Coffin, Donald Foley, and their new disciple, John Banco. That John Carpenter is the victor on the question of Medjugorje and all these questions about Journey with Mary. So I am so thankful for John and what he's done in this series, and I declare him victor tonight. And thank you, John, for allowing me to do that.
Well, you're most welcome. Any other wonderful words you want to share with us while you're on the air?
One thing about the when you were talking about Our Lady of Guadalupe and the 6 million Indian conversion, I think that was heaven's way of countering the Protestant Reformation that was taking place in Europe at the time. Very interesting.
Ah, yes. Very true. Very good point. All right. Hey, Michael, you want to ask Donald anything?
Not right off the top of my head, but we are taping so that we can play this back later.
Okay.
I wouldn't miss this.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Donald.
You're sounding great, Don.
Yeah.
Well, I've been wanting to say that for some time, that I declare as head of Deeper Truth that John Carpenter is the victor in any of this debate that we've had over the past several weeks.
Months.
About Medjugorje.
Yeah. Yeah.
And...
Well, and I appreciate that because I always work on bringing the truth, the best research, the best science, the best investigation, the best messages, everything forward. And when people take a pot shot and find one little fly in the ointment and then declare something evil and demonic just because they heard one little thing that didn't click with them, That's just hysteria. That's not true science and investigation and careful research. And I'm very critical and I'm very careful. I don't even like to spend any time on any apparitions that I've heard are phony or faked or whatever. I just don't even waste my time with them. So, you know, and I dig into those that have a lot of meat and a lot of worth and a lot of merit and a lot of miracles. Oh my gosh, miracles. Oh,
John,
and the funny thing, Donald, I just want to say this, is that those people who made negative remarks never once contacted me or responded to any requests for debate or discussion. They all ran, I'm sorry, like rats off of a sinking ship.
I turned the light on. I turned the light on, and they ran like cockroaches.
That's right.
And I will tell you one thing. I started writing what I call the Medjugorje Chronicles, which I was responding to their attacks that nowhere was Mary saying that all churches were equal. And nowhere was, you know, I think they misunderstood a message that Our Lady reportedly gave on October 1st, 1981. I think what Mary was talking about was that God loves us all regardless of the position or where we come from. She loves us all.
That's
God
right.
loves us all equally. And when you
That's
read
right.
the whole context, when you read the whole context in that same breath, Mary clearly says that not all religions are equal and that some people have disregarded the commandments and the Catholic Church. She says that.
Right.
So they
so
totally purposely.
Yeah. Well, and you know, the funny thing is, when they think that one visionary, who happened to be the visionary that had glowing lights coming from her hands and healing people, and I don't know how you fake that, but anyway, because she blinked during one apparition, they swore that they were all phony. Well, you know, if one person does blink just out of chance, that doesn't prove anything, and it doesn't mean the other five were phony, even if that one was. But it's very weak argument. It's very unfounded, and it goes in the face of hundreds.
But John,
I would say 100 scientists who studied them for years and never found
exactly.
any flaws like that.
In fact,
so.
If you go with you know, the most important Vatican exorcist, the most who spent hours and hours and hours with these guys and said that he thought they were not only sincere, but he believed in what they were saying was true. And this is
right.
a Vatican exorcist. I mean, one of the chief ones. And I brought that out against what John Benko put out to me, and I shared it in a video, or not a video, but an article. And that's
right.
gone all over the place.
Good.
And because of what John Benko was saying, I want to say this forthright. That John Carpenter is very truthful in his research, and he's well respected in this four-state area because of his talks and the commitment that he has in putting these talks together and what he puts together for these shows. And I'm just wanting to say that he is truthful, and he's not a liar. On the contrary, the
yeah.
opposite of.
Yeah, I'm not very good at lying. I don't even know how
you don't
to
make
do
a good liar. That's
no,
why we
I'm terrible.
Can ask you the tough questions, and you have a reservoir of knowledge to back them up.
And if I don't, I say so too. So.
And one thing I will say, one thing I will say here is one of the criticisms that I heard these people called Mary at Medjugorje a demon and an idol because the Immaculate Conception could never ask God for forgiveness because of the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer. And there was a Benedictine monk that was there, and I posted the Our Father that he and what he shared was that at that moment of the Our Father, forgive us our trespasses, Our Lady remained silent. Just as when St. Bernadette Subaru prayed the rosary and Our Lady was present with her, Our Lady remained silent. And as easy as I was able to find this research, so could have Patrick Coffin. So could have Donald Foley.
Sure.
So could
sure.
have John Benko. Anybody could have found this research just as easy as I did. But yet they chose not to. They're the ones, I believe, are the true liars.
Well,
I hate to say
regardless,
that.
Their judgment will not be by us anyway. It will be from the greater above. And so we pray for their souls. And With that, we come to the end, and thank you, Donald, for making your appearance. I appreciate your support. But this is why we are called Deeper Truth, because we are the deeper truth of all that we care about and research and present. And so with that, I'm going to head into our worldwide Hail Mary that we say at the end of every program. And we will be back next week in Batania to finish out these messages. There's quite a few more, and they're worth hearing, so we'll finish out the rest of them next week. So I will now mute you guys, and we will head into our final worldwide Hail Mary. I ask everyone out there in all the countries around to please join with me in saying a Hail Mary. We want all our voices, especially for Ukraine, please say and feel this Hail Mary for all those unfortunate people who did not ask for this violence and this and destruction in their beloved home country by the terrors of Russian aggression and arrogance. Nobody needed to have to go through this. So we dedicate this worldwide Hail Mary, please, to the suffering in the Ukraine and to any others who need these prayers. So join with me now and let all our voices in unison rise up to heaven, where heaven will hopefully recognize us again as recognizing all of heaven. Join with me. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. God bless every one of you who tuned in tonight. And thank you, Donald and Mike, for your participation. And we'll be back next week in Venezuela. Good night to all, and God bless.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking wisdom, let it be.
Thank you for joining us for this special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show, an in-depth examination of the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host has been John Carpenter, an expert on more than 90 confirmed apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Be sure to join us again as we examine another Marian apparition in depth, right here on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.